Our Old Testament lesson this morning, we continue in the story, and we're engaging Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel this morning. A familiar passage probably to some of you, Ezekiel chapter 37. If you want to follow along, you'll find it on page 806 of the Old Testament portion in your pew Bible. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you shall shall cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place on you your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Let us pray. Bless, O Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's time for true confession. My wife and I are big Star Trek fans. If you have the courage, raise your hand if you're a Star Trek fan. I just kind of want to get a poll. There we go. There we go. I see some waved hands. That means they're enthusiastic Trekkers out there. One of the elements that helps enhance the series is their quest for new life, as you know, as the opening monologue and multiple of the iterations. And they're always seeming to scan different planets for life signs. I thought about that this week because it was Brent Spiner who played Lieutenant Commander Data in the Next Generation series. So I was thinking about a line he had from the movie Generations, which brought together the original series, Next Generation cast, and a movie called Generations. And he gets his emotion chip, and he's scanning the planet below. Picard tells him to scan the planet, and he goes, "I just love scanning for life forms." After which point he goes, "Life forms, you tiny little life form, where are you? And playing with the keyboard as they usually do. It was very funny. Life forms, precious little life forms. The discouraging thing, of course, is when they would encounter a planet where all of a sudden they'd realize there were billions of lives on this planet, and now there are none. And that happened in multiple episodes. I'm picking up no signs of life. Life is precious, even in Star Trek, that seems to be able to raise life from the dead in multiple episodes. People die and are dead for several hours, and they're brought back to life. And yet life is still precious. Something in Ezekiel's text today, I think, reminded me of something that's very sci-fi-ish. We have this valley. All around there are bones, they're dry bones. That means people died a long time ago. Commentators think that this valley was actually the site of a battle, and that these were soldiers' bones lying open in this kind of open mass grave. When God tells him, mortal, can these bones live? A rational response probably would have been, are you kidding? No way. These are done. These bones? Dry? But then he says instead, O Lord God, you know. He doesn't have that skepticism, but he also doesn't say, oh God, if you could do anything, you can make him live. From the beginning of this text, he places the answer in God's hands. He does not sport an attitude of skepticism nor presumptive optimism. It's as if he says, God, okay, because you trusted me in my rule, I will involve you, God says, in the resuscitation of these bones. After which he tells Ezekiel to prophesy. And so next what happens, I think, is what I think of in a sci-fi kind of movie or show. These bones rattling and coming back together, flesh coming on these bones and enwrapping them. Then they all of a sudden stand up, a great multitude. And part of me can't help but shake an image of zombies from my head. And I'm so sorry about that. But that's what I have, because he says there's no breath of life in them yet. That final ingredient. What are to become of these resuscitated, enfleshed bone things? We're not told. They're not an army that's brought back to life to fight some glorious battle. Instead, they function as a sign pointing to what God will do to restore Israel to its land. This we read in 11 through 14. A people once powerless, enslaved by foreign aggressors, namely now the Babylonians, who cannot come home again, cut off from that promised land, much like their ancestors in Egypt. Only a mighty God and a mighty act of God can convince Ezekiel that God is not absent, that God has not abandoned his people. And so there is hope, even in this dry valley, even in the valley of the shadow of death. God demonstrates convincingly that while human power fails, God's power is limitless and perfect. And just so it's clear, who's doing the work? God reiterates, I will open your graves. I will raise you. I will bring you home. I will open your graves. I will raise you. I will put my spirit within you. I will place you in your own land. The text is about homecoming more than about some kind of zombie uprising. It's about a people who are loved by God, being reformed as a community, brought back together, bone to bone, flesh to flesh, new life, new joy, new vitality. It's a recurrent motif throughout Scripture. We read a prolonged passage of it this morning in the raising of Lazarus. There was no cure for Lazarus. Martha said, he's been dead 3 days. He stinks. There's no sign of life. And what does Jesus say? I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and those who live and believe in me will never die. Resurrection is a metaphor for God's capacity to work a newness in this historical process, claims one commentator. And that is what happened in Ezekiel's time. That is what happened in Jesus' time. And I believe that is what is happening in our time. In the end of the vision of Ezekiel is ultimately not about celebrating Israel's new life, but by the life signs that God is faithful and powerful and sovereign to work this newness. When God takes control, there's nothing to stop it. National powers, ancient and modern, seek signs of life by going back to those dry, old ways. War, aggression, threats of sanction, displacement, borders both physical and psychological and ideological. And the result is more valleys of death, more dry bones. Those who follow the tradition of Ezekiel in the footsteps of Jesus, we do not place our trust in the conclusions of empire. We instead trust in the stunning freedom and power of God, who is giving life all the time. We stake our hope in a God who opens our eyes to see those signs of life.
like people risking arrest to speak against policies and practices that create more dry valleys and instead embrace a vision of a lush garden with plenty for all. People whose acts of compassion toward the stranger in our midst points to a God who accepts us as we are, beautifully created, and doesn't profile us based on any human criteria, but sees us new creations, resurrected in the image of Jesus Christ. Friends, if we believe that any worldly institution has the means of granting or restricting freedoms and newness, then we aren't heeding the signs of life that God is pointing to. The one who created all life is not limited by us. The wind that carried Ezekiel has the power to change the landscape, to put new flesh on the dry bones. And yet God uses our voices, like Ezekiel, to say the words, to spread the message, the good news, that the human tomb can't hold back the resurrection power of God. This table set before us serves us as a reminder that even when the times feel dry and the valleys seem to be piling up with bones, even then new life is emerging. Because on the night before his death, Jesus pointed to his life, his body and blood, bread and cup, and reminded his disciples that through his death, new life was coming. When we eat and drink in this meal, we confess this truth. We experience that breath of God strengthening us, reminding us of who is in charge, of who shows us signs of life, of who gave his life away so that others might live, and who now lives that others might live forever. So tomorrow, or even today, if the news is discouraging, take heart. Even if you don't know what to pray for or are feeling discouraged, even if you don't feel like praying, I encourage you to confess to God and say, "Oh Lord, my God, you know." And then wait. Look for the signs of life. Point them out to others. In this season of our national life, where strife and discord are all around, remember that we believe in a God who raised Jesus Christ, and in his words, "I am the resurrection and the life." All thanks and praise to the only wise God who grants us more than we could ever ask or imagine. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.